her hand. "You're free to go whenever you wish." "It's a comfy chair," said Vimes. He was damned if he'd be dismissed. "Are you really from Genua? Are you really from Pseudopolis?" Madam smiled at him. "I find, personally, that it pays never to be from somewhere close at hand. It makes life so much easier. But I have spent a lot of time in Genua, where I have business interests." She smiled at him. "And now you're thinking old seamstress, no doubt." "Actually, I was thinking bespoke tailoring," said Vimes, and she burst out laughing. "But mostly," he added, "I was thinking revolutionary." "Continue, Sergeant." Madam stood up. "Do you mind if I have some champagne? I'd offer you some, but I understand that you don't drink." Vimes glanced at the brimming whisky glass beside him. "We were just checking," said Madam, hauling a large bottle out of an industrial-capacity ice bucket. "You're not a sergeant. Rosie was right. You've been an officer. More than just any old officer, too. You're so composed, Sergeant Keel. Here you are, in a big house, in a lady's boudoir, with a woman of uneasy virtue." Madam upended the bottle into what appeared to be a blue mug with a teddy bear on it. "And you appear unfussed. Where are you from? You may smoke, by the way."
"Somewhere a long way off," said Vimes.
"Oberwald?"
"No."
"I have business interests in Oberwald," said Madam. "Alas, the situation there is becoming quite unstable."
"Right, I see," said Vimes. "And you'd like to have the significant pause type of business interests in Ankh-Morpork, I expect, if it can be stabilised."
"Very good. Let us say that I think this city has a wonderful future, and that I would like to be part of it, and that you are remarkably perspicacious."
"No," said Vimes. "I'm very simple. I just know how things work. I just follow the money. Winder is a madman, and that's not good for business. His cronies are criminals, but that's not good for business. A new patrician will need new friends, far-sighted people who want to be part of a wonderful future. One that's good for business. That's how it goes. Meetings in rooms, a little diplomacy, a little give and take, a promise here, an understanding there. That's how real revolutions happen. All that stuff in the streets is just froth." Vimes nodded to the door. "Guests for a late supper?" That was Dr. Follett's voice. "A clever man, they used to... they call him. He'll pick the right side. If you've got the big guilds with you, Winder is a dead man walking. But Snapcase won't do you much good."
"Many people have great hopes of him.
What do you think?"
"I think he's a scheming, self-serving fool. But he's the best there is at the moment." "And where do you come in, Sergeant?"
"Me? I'm staying outside. You've got nothing that I want."
"You don't want anything?"
"I want lots of things, my lady, but you can't give them to me."
"How would you like to be back in command?"
The question hit him like a hammer. This was history. She couldn't know. How could she know?
"Ah," said Madam, who had watched his expression. "Rosemary did say thieves took some very expensive armour off you, fit for a general, I hear."
She glanced at Vimes as she opened another bottle. Properly, too, Vimes noticed, through the shock. None of that amateur business with rocketing corks and wasted bubbles.
"Wouldn't that be strange if it was true?" Madam mused. "A street-fighting man with the manner of a commander and the breastplate of a leader."
Vimes stared straight ahead.
"And who needs to know how he got here?" said Madam to the heir in general. "We could take the view that here at last is a man who could truly take command of the city watch."
The first thought that fizzed in Vimes's head like champagne was, bloody hell, I could do it. Chuck swing out on his arse, promote some decent sergeants. The second thought was, in this city, under Snapcase, now, we'd be just another gang. The third thought was, this is insane, it can't happen. It never did happen. You want to go home to Sybil. Thoughts one and two shuffled out of the way, feeling ashamed of themselves and mumbling, yeah, right, Sybil. Yeah, obviously, yeah, right, sorry. Until they faded into silence.
"I've always had a talent for seeing promise," said Madam,
while he still stared at nothing. The fourth thought rose in the darkness like some ugly creature from the abyss. "You didn't think about Sybil until thought three," it whispered. He blinked.
"You know the city needs," Madam began.
"I want,"